from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Brief trip around the NFL, and then we're going to go straight to Bobby Slowick after a really second consecutive really good practice from the offense. But we got to mention this. Vikings first-round quarterback J.J. McCarthy underwent a full meniscus repair this morning and is out for the 2024 season, according to Ian Rapoport and Tom Pelissero. Huge, severe blow to the Minnesota Vikings. And Texans' third week opponent, they've had a lot of injuries.
Yeah, they
did. Vikings have had a lot of injuries. So
especially over the years with the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had a lot of injuries.
And this year, several this year as well. So do want to share that, but let's get to Bobby Slowick right off the practice field.
Kind of seen his growth in that. How did you maybe compare how he did last season to what he does now?
Yeah, I'd say the most noticeable thing for us is it really takes very little conversation now. If there's a mistake that he could have done better, usually for us it's more moving less, right? Like he's gotten to the point where he's reacting to pockets, but then you want to move as little as you need to. So last year we were talking about that all the time. This year there's very little conversation, and when we do have to have the conversation, he already knows. A lot of it at this point is how do we become firmer? How do we make sure we're better against this pressure? How do we help the right guard? How can we be better in our drop? It's something very subtle in which direction we're going, just to help the O-line. Might be a little leaky, but we can still operate. So it, like, there's a lot finer detail when we get into it, but by and large it comes up a lot less often.
Bobby, I get the sense that Nico is coming off his best year of his career, and then you all added, you know, another top tier receiver. How has he handled that?
He's exactly what you want. Nico doesn't change. He puts his head down and he works every day. Doesn't matter what time of year it is. It could be the off season. It could be in season. He could be fighting through an injury. He could be 100% healthy out there grinding. I mean, he's one of the more consistent players we have, which is why he's so fun to be around. I mean, he's got great energy. He's a great young man and a really good receiver. And I mean, the way he goes about his business is as professional as you could be. He's fun to coach.
Does it feel to have the whole offensive line back, and does that change any of the scripted play calling that you do in training camp?
It definitely changes some of the scripting. You know, everything we do scripting wise, you know, like, we're not necessarily trying to always put our guys in camp in the best position possible. Sometimes you want to see guys have to fight through some adversity or some tough looks, or sometimes, you know, they're really going to have to strain to get something done. And you bank those reps as you go through camp. You're able to talk about them really at every position. So that goes from the O-line to the receivers, tight ends, backs, quarterback. And once you get guys returning back to the field, you really have to make sure that they're not missing stuff that you've already hit, right? So we might be coaching, I'll use Brevin as an example, and Dalton Schultz might not have ever gotten a rep of what we're talking to Brevin about. Dalton has to find a way to bank that rep, to learn from Brevin's rep. And then as you go through camp and guys start to come back, say Dalton came back, it's our job as coaches, scripting-wise, to make sure Dalton gets an opportunity at that situation, just to make sure it's hammered in there. So scripting, it definitely plays a factor as far as how the O-line is with everybody back out there. It's just, you know, being a cohesive unit up front is a really big deal. That's on the O-line and the D-line. So having all the starters out there, all the guys that we want, working with the ones, mixing in with the ones, really just helped build that cohesion, build them getting used to each other on combinations, on where they're going to be in pass sets and things like that.
Speaking of cohesion, have you seen that cohesion between Stephon Diggs and CJ start to get a little bit better?
Yeah, I mean, it's been growing since Steph got here. You know, the amount of time those two have put in together with no one else around, no one watching, no video cameras, filming for coaches, you know, you guys not here. Like, they're making sure they're putting the work in. And, you know, we've known that, and we see it a lot of times before it comes to fruition in practice and in team periods. You can see it in routes on air. You can see how they talk, how they converse in between plays. Like, it's been coming. So it was fun to see today that they connected as many times as they did.
What do you like about his skill set?
Yeah, it's easy to see Cam is familiar with the outside zone scheme. You know, L.A., when he was in L.A. and Minnesota, they both did something pretty similar to what we do. So not a lot of conversation with him has to take place with how to run zone in general. Now, we've had to talk about other run schemes we do. We've ran a lot of gap. We've run a lot of other stuff that he's had to adjust to a little bit. But he wants to know it all. You know, he is thirsty for knowledge. He's always asking questions. He wants to make sure that when we put him in, he's doing the right thing. He really wants to do anything he can to help us.
Can you talk about yeah, he was a top, you know, kind of college recruit. Do you still see that kind of burst explosion talent that made him kind of a player like that?
Yeah, I think it's easy to see in these preseason games, you know, the way he's gone out and he's made plays. He's made people miss in space. He's been at the right spot. He's had I think almost no mental mistakes, maybe one, but extremely reliable. You see all that.
Finally, talk a lot about how the receiver room is. Can you talk about the kinds of things you guys look for as you, you know, get to preseason and decide ultimately who's going to be here? Like, what are you looking for from the guys in that room?
Yeah, so, I love that question because that's an easy question for us just because it hasn't changed in 2 years, right? Like, we want people that play aggressive, confident, fast, and physical. And really, you know, the more we're on the field and we go play in preseason games, I think it'll show as we go through this. It definitely has started to show in camp. You know, the guys that wind up over the course of camp making a lot of plays are the guys that play with that mindset, guys that just relentlessly compete. And they're going to do anything they can to make sure they win that rep, they get the ball, and when they get the ball, they finish with the ball in their hands. And that really is what it comes down to.
Bobby, there wasn't two more guys.
There wasn't a rule change as much as maybe like an emphasis point on what's been commonly termed as cheat motion.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that's made your radar, and does that require any sort of adjustments, change to the way you guys operate sometimes?
Yeah, we've always talked about what the emphasis is. You know, once we started, really the whole NFL started going to what we call on-the-move motions, plays where the ball snapped and someone's still moving, you know, like jet motions, I think a lot of people call it, and anything in that family, we've always looked at and emphasized, hey, let's make sure we're not leaving early. And it got us in a game last year. We left early. I think CJ hit Tank on a huge play against Jacksonville at home, and that got called back because of a procedure penalty. That really, they called us for too many guys moving, but they also could have called Tank for leaving early. Same conversation. So we've always discussed it, but you got to have that hammered down, just making sure we're going lateral till the ball snap because of what it can do and affect in the defense, you know. So we definitely want to still be able to do things like that and motions like that, but you really got to be on it as far as everyone being on the same page with the snap count.
Bobby, how much did the trip to Cleveland help you all do?
Yeah, I always think having time away during camp as a group is one of the cooler things about the NFL. You know, you get a chance as a team, you're away from, it stinks you're away from your family or your friends for a while, your hometown, but you got no one else but each other. And through the course of the season, with how long it is, that's what the season becomes. You know, that within the coaching staff, within players, within the whole team, it's a really big deal to be able to just make sure we're dedicating time to each other, build relationships with people that you may not interact with or talk to all the time through the course of your daily schedule in the building. And then, you know, D'Amico did a fantastic job. Cal did a fantastic job setting up stuff while we were there, where we were able to get together as groups and bond and build relationships and get to know people. It was really fun.
All right. Thanks, Bobby.
Thanks, everybody.
Stephon Diggs is your number one wide receiver. Are there any more questions about that?
No, I ain't.
Anyone have any questions about that?
Nope, I don't.
I don't either.
Yeah, I mean, it to me, it's not silly because the other guys obviously are really, really good. But no, he's here for a reason.
Yeah,
man.
And I think the good thing is, like, right now, yes, he's the number one on this team.
Mm-hmm.
But you can make a case how the other two could be a number one.
Well, we'll talk about this tomorrow. Chris was bringing it up during a break. Like, let's maybe categorize that. Like, what could they be better at? As a receiver group, but like it's so funny. Like you get a veteran like Stephon Diggs, and really, as much as we have fun with it, a veteran like Laremy Tunsil, they know just what to do to get ready by kickoff. In fact, D'Amico Ryans was talking about you don't want to peak too soon. Not too long ago,
yeah.
I think like Stephon Diggs is like, oh, look at the calendar.
Yep. All right. It's time now. And I said the same thing when I saw him on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, Laremy Tunsil dressed and yeah. about to practice.
Yeah.
Oh, Joe Mixon. Mm-hmm. He's out there. He's doing
drills. I should have mentioned him too.
Yeah. And then, you know, we know Christian Harris. He was out there, but he had to take a step back. But
yeah, his is a little different.
But now you start seeing these guys that we were not worried about, but we was just like, man, he ain't practicing. Mm-hmm. Oh, Laremy Tunsil being Laremy Tunsil. But he know what to do. He know when the right time to come through
yeah.
and ramp up.
No, it's really good. So this actually brings up something that I saw as well this morning. I think it was the Pender poll. It was Sean Pendergast Pender poll talking about the division and rivalries and all that stuff. So Sean put the poll up, and it's a good poll, but to me it's not even a question anymore. Like, which AFC South opponent do you hate the most? And obviously the options are Colts, Titans, and Jaguars. It's not even a question anymore, is it? It's the Titans.
Yeah, I think it's the Titans because of the off the field
yeah.
stuff with the throwbacks and the Oilers and all mm-hmm. that stuff. I think so. That's to me, that's my number one.
Mm-hmm. Chris?
Just them bringing that them uniforms back out. Yeah. It's just like, all right, it kind of
and Amy Adams,
the fake Oilers.
Yeah,
yeah,
has to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I look, you can't look past the Colts too. I think the Colts, they've been. I feel like that's where the chirping been.
Yeah,
like it been a lot of back and forth. You know, CJ talking his talk, Zaire Franklin talking
yeah.
his talk.
Yeah,
what's his name? EJ Speed. He been doing his talk too. And then the way the season ended last year.
Yeah.
It's a lot of meat left on that bone, man. I wouldn't sleep on that from a competitive point.
But how he phrased the question here, it to me is the most important part. He said, "Which AFC South opponent do you hate the most?" Because like in terms of rivalry, football rivalry, I think the Colts are going to be the biggest competition,
yeah.
and traditionally have been. Like back when Peyton Manning was there and Andrew Luck was there, the Texans and Colts yeah. were always.
Andy still hate the Colts.
Still hates the Colts because of that. But I don't hate the Colts. I think it's the best rivalry. Like on the field, that's your biggest competition for me this year. But it's an easy answer which team I hate the most.
Yeah, 100%. No, I 100% agree, especially the way your girl Amy Adams,
yeah.
how she been rolling out mm-hmm. and how she been pretty much disrespecting the Texans and all that stuff. So yeah, that's a team I hate. I just like I don't care if they could be 0-16, man.
Yeah,
0-17. I want them to suffer.
I it's kind of like I'm trying to think of a good example. Like let's say the Astros probably hate the Yankees the most. But the team, they, you know, but that's not necessarily the team they always have to go through. They have to go through the division. They have to go through the Mariners. They have to go through, you know, some of these other things. So that maybe that might not be a great example.
To me, I think of, like, my home city, Cleveland.
Yeah.
And how Cleveland and Pittsburgh hate each other.
Yeah.
And just it haven't really been a rivalry that much because Pittsburgh always come out on top. They never really had to go through Cleveland.
Yeah.
But the Steelers hate the Browns as like
so
much.
It's just not their biggest football rival.
Yeah, it's not their rival, but they always want to beat the Browns no matter how bad the Browns are.
Yeah.
They never just, the Browns ain't the rival. They always, they hate the city of Cleveland, and they always want them to suffer no matter what.
Yeah. I actually had this earlier, and we'll revisit it tomorrow as well. But like, there's just some teams that you just arbitrarily hate. Like, for no particular reason.
Yeah.
I shouldn't... I'll give you an example. I shouldn't hate Ole Miss. I shouldn't. Like a kid, Robinson, that grew up with my son, like, he's part of the family, went to Ole Miss, actually played there for a year. Some of our best friends, you know, live in Oxford. And you know, like I said, they're some of our best friends. They're Ole Miss fans. For some reason, like, what's the most arbitrary... I really shouldn't hate this team, but I just do. Ole Miss just irritates me. Like, I've been to a bunch of games there, both professionally and as a fan, and it's just like it's like its own little world, like it like stuck in the 70s or something, and just sort of like fake. And I just don't. It's just I can't explain it. That's the whole point. I don't know why I shouldn't hate Ole Miss. I've got best friends and kids that I know that went there and love it. For some reason, I just hate Ole Miss. Do you have one of those?
I'm going to piss you off so much, man.
A&M?
Yes,
why?
Man.
I'm right there with you, Figgy.
Why?
And see, this is the thing. Like, when I moved down here, like, I had no horse in the fight. I ain't know nobody from A&M and all that. I had no issue. Actually, I was kind of like a John McClain.
It's just God's country.
I just want anybody from Texas to win. I was kind of in that boat. But it seemed like whenever football season come around, and they kind of act like a little bit of Cowboy fans a little bit. Like, oh, yep, this is our year.
Yeah, but it is. This time, man, I really mean it.
See? See, that's what I'm talking about, man. And then it just saying.
They support the squad better than anybody.
But see, I feel like with me moving down here, I feel comfortable enough where I could kind of jump on U of H bandwagon.
Yeah.
Or even jump on University of Texas bandwagon. Yeah. It seemed like that's kind of cool, but I feel like I need an Aggie ring to even be a part of Texas A&M.
No, that's not true.
I feel like if I walked in here with an Aggie shirt on, everybody going to be like, what class? What class?
You got a ring?
Like, where's your ring at?
Where's your ring?
And I got to do all of this weird stuff y'all be doing, man, that I'm not a part of. I feel like I can't just support the team all as regular fan.
Mine's going to be the same thing as Figgy, the Aggies.
Oh,
and
come
on. I'm sorry, man. It's just... Not you or Team Out, but like there's some annoying Aggie fans. I mean, that's just every fan base.
Yeah.
But UTSA, man, there are our I-35 rivals, and they do a lot of talking over there.
Even been around that long in football.
Yeah, and they have been better than Texas State, but it's just like, just tired of y'all Roadrunners, man. Y'all go away, man. Y'all go away. We're the real college school in San Marcos, and although they're like in San Antonio, just like we're the real college town, baby. We're the real college town. But yeah, them Aggies, man.
It's funny, and I like A&M people too, man. Like I think it's one of the coolest schools, one of the coolest places to go to. But sometimes I just feel left out. Mm-hmm. Like, whenever y'all be walking, it's a bunch of Aggies on this floor.
We'll bring you the game, man.
Yeah.
You'll be all in.
I just feel like...
You'll be sawing varsity's horns off, man.
I feel like I got to be a part of this secret club to be...
No, you don't.
Down
no,
with y'all,
no,
man.
No, you don't. Chris, have you been to an Aggie
game? And then they be walking around. Howdy.
No, I have not. I actually told Tyler I want to go.
Well, what? See...
I do want to go.
Y'all are passing judgment. Nah, I ain't never even been there.
I do want to go, man. Like, that's on my bucket list to go.
Yeah.
But sometimes I just be like, man, y'all doing the most and ain't win. And y'all ain't won nothing.
Yeah.
Like, right come on now.
Right on cue from Tyler Milner.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Mike Elko's going to change everything. It's our time now.
See, that's the type of stuff, man. We need y'all to be a little humble, man.
No, man.
I understand if y'all won a bunch of national championships and stuff like that, but damn, man.
It's funny. By the way, the afternoon guys, They're going to have D'Amico Ryans. Sit down interview with D'Amico Ryans today.
From Big Bessemer.
From Big Bessemer. But we can change your minds. Aggies, that's God.
Hey, I'm down for going to a game and all that stuff. Like, I don't know any bad Aggies and
best,
like
best
that.
Place in the world.
But sometimes y'all be a little frustrating, especially with the product on the field.
We're honest. We're level headed. All that. All right. Let's get the internet going nuts with pretty cool stuff from John Kruk and your guy Yordan Alvarez next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
I got the internet going nuts.
Sometimes you got the internet going nuts and it's really, really cool. And sometimes you got the internet going nuts and it's like, what the hell did I just see? So Antonio Brown is what we're going to talk about here.
Oh, man.
So let's start with Antonio Brown on this podcast with Le'Veon Bell. Trying to explain CTE.
Afterwards?
Like, yeah. Do you think I got CTE?
I don't think you got CTE.
Do you think you got CTE?
I don't think I got CTE. But we'll never know till we die.
What do you think about CTE? What is CTE?
ACTE is like ACT. Basically like when you forget or no?
No, I feel like CTE is really like a bunch of traumas that was like we go through as people.
It's like brain damage, right?
I don't want to say your brain damage because you can't live with your brain damage.
But not like brain damage, but it's like a little like part, like a little small, like I feel like damage it, like something
it's
like
I feel
damage.
Like it's like they, people try to frame CTE as a concussion that you may have, but like, yo, we had a bunch of concussions.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, you could live out the concussion.
Right.
So I feel like CTE could be a bunch of different things, but I feel like it's a characteristic of traumas that we all as people go through.
Mm.
Yeah, there are so many things wrong with that.
He should have just said CTE is Young Jeezy's old record label, man. He had a record label called CTE.
Dude, y'all have seen Billy Madison, right?
Yeah.
Chris, you seen Billy Madison?
No.
Well, there's a line in there. We are all dumber for having just heard that.
The way they were giggling, man.
Dude, like, first of all, like, there's so many things, and we're not going to necessarily get into all the nitty-gritty that we did earlier when we played this, as in, like, the education and all that stuff. And I'm just amazed that NFL players, like, legit longtime NFL players who are conditioned to think about head injuries, or they go to seminars, they have meetings, doctors that treat them and talk to them about head injuries, that they have no clue.
Yeah, if I was in that profession, I would at least have an idea what it is.
Yeah,
because it's pretty much like a I don't want to say a disease, but mm-hmm. it's something you could get for playing the sport.
Yeah,
so I would like
it
to
kill you.
Yeah, I would like to know at least know what it is.
Yes,
if I'm in that field, and maybe learn a little bit to prevent that.
Yes. It's like a commercial, and I'm not making light. We all know how serious it is, but that exchange right there is like a commercial for CTE. Like, it's like, you want to know what CTE is? I'm not saying they have it. I'm saying, but just the ignorance, the fact that they don't really know what it is, and they played, you know, maybe even, you know, youth ball in middle school and high school and college and NFL, and still don't know. And then they're comparing it to, like, emotional trauma.
Yeah, I think he was thinking about PTSD.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But man.
Isn't that like a doctor that don't know what cancer is?
Yes.
Or
yes,
don't
is.
Know what a sickness is?
Yes, it is.
It's yeah. like, you should know what it is, right?
Yeah. It's absolutely ridiculous.
I got the internet going nuts.
And this is just funny. And I think everybody at this station anyway can relate to this, because sometimes we put each other on the spot, we talk about stuff, or we bring up a point or a topic, and as we're saying it, we're like, oh, I'm gonna regret saying this. Oh, I'm gonna be so made fun of so much for saying this, etc. This was the one and only John Kruk.
And now this.
And now, the delightfully bizarre musings of Phillies color commentator John Kruk.
You know, I was thinking about this today, now that we have some time.
Yeah.
Like, why aren't we born with hair on our chest, men?
I don't know that.
Why does it wait till, like, you're, you know, 16, 17, 18, 20, whatever?
Yeah.
And then it starts growing. Like, where are those follicles dormant?
There's not a lot of shows I watch, but the kid, we banned them from one.
I'm not even going to ask which one it is.
Oh, I can tell you.
All right.
Caillou.
Oh, okay.
All that kid did was complain. We used to do stuff for the ESPN down at Disney, like Animal Kingdom. They put us up. So the first day, I open up the shade. There's a dang giraffe looking in my window.
Really?
I'm like, what the hell is
this?
Did
you feed it anything?
I did not. I was scared of it. So Kenny Pierce decided, hey, I'd like to get my girlfriend to come up here. We go down there and pick her up. Her dad comes out with a dang shotgun trying to shoot at us.
Of course he does.
Did I ever tell you about playing the prison team and when I was playing a winter ball? So I asked the catcher, I said, what did he do? He's out. He found his girlfriend cheating. He burned up her car with her and her boyfriend. And then very uncomfortable at bat.
Very uncomfortable at bat. Old John Kruk doing what John Kruk does. Like we've all been. I've said some things here recently where I'm like, probably shouldn't have said that. But what are you gonna do?
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you just gotta take that on the chin. Like, especially if you know you screwed up as soon as you said it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I ain't gonna lie. When I mentioned the A&M thing in the last sec, I'm just like, oh God.
Oh, I don't care.
Like, I was no, not with you, but just the feedback.
Yeah, yeah.
Of all of these Aggies. Well,
guess what? You're gonna get half and half.
Yeah, yeah.
You're gonna get half.
So
and
I
half.
Feel better. I looked on the text. I feel better. I got
hell.
Half
we
half.
Started the show and I asked Chris, "What are you?"
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, you did.
I did. Yeah. I literally said, "What are you?" For those who weren't listening, I was driving into work today, and I was like, "I really like that old Chris Santiago." Now that we're spending some time together, by the way, a new show starting on Monday. with a new host to be determined.
Who the host?
To be determined. And I'm like, I really like that kid. And I'm like, I don't know a whole lot about him other than his last name. So I said, what are you? Hell, you thought he was half African American.
Yeah, I thought he was half you, half me. You know how you see somebody in the spot and you be like, hey, you one of me?
You one of us?
I got your back.
But he's on the team. Just to reiterate.
Puerto Rican and Mexican.
How about that?
Okay. That's a good combination, man.
Have you been to Puerto Rico?
No, I have not. I have not. I need to go. My dad was supposed to take me one day and we ended up never going. Yeah. He went with his girlfriend. But it was mostly because I had work.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I gotta prioritize, like,
it's gorgeous, dude.
Work. And
I've been twice.
I need to go.
It's awesome. Obviously I've been to Mexico several times and that's awesome. Sometimes you say, hey, what are you?
Yeah.
On the air.
Sometimes you gotta do it, man.
Nothing wrong with it.
Nothing wrong with that. All right, let's hear about a movie that I was thinking about when I heard about what Yordan Alvarez did yesterday. Did you hear about this? He did it. That Yordan Alvarez hit a batting practice home run that broke the scoreboard in Tampa at the Trop. Like,
man,
literally all the lights were just going crazy. It wasn't working. It reminded me of The Natural, man. It reminded me of The Natural. He's done it a couple of times.
Yeah, this ain't the first time.
He's done it here, I think. He knocked out the scoreboard once. But he was asked about knocking out the scoreboard, and he said, hey, man, that's all circumstantial evidence.
So did you shooting for the scoreboard, or what was going on there?
No, tú me estás poniendo un problema porque yo fui de que lo posteaste, y si no hay un video que pruebe que fui yo, ese bill no lo pago yo.
No, you're trying to get me in trouble. You're the one that posted that picture. There wasn't a video showing that it was me. I don't know who it was, so I'm not paying that bill. Some say it was you, so are you denying it, or are you
gonna... Falta video. Mucha gente dice que falta el video, y yo los apoyo. No, si no hay un video, no fui yo.
I don't know, you know, we're missing the video and there's not a video. You know, a lot of people are asking for the video. If there's no video, I don't know who it was.
Hey, man, it didn't happen if there's no pictures.
Yeah.
It didn't happen.
Yeah, I would have been like, no habla inglés.
Me no habla
inglés. Yeah, I'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about.
What are you talking about?
Trying to set him up, man.
Yeah.
Trying to set Yordan up, man.
It's funny you mentioned the movie. This, to me, this Astros thing remind me of the movie Halloween.
Yeah, man.
Just Michael Myers just waking up from the dead. You thought he was dead. And now he busting through your door and you trying to run, everybody trying to run and hide. And that's the Astros, man. You threw him out the window. He right there laying down like he dead. You turn around and look right back out the window. He gone. It's just like, wait a minute. I thought I killed him.
Remember The Shining? You ever see The Shining?
I remember The Shining. Yeah.
Here's Johnny. Here are the Astros. They're still alive. All right, man, let's get to Matt Burke. Kind of a rough day at the office for the defense, but they've been playing really, really well. Let's get to the Texas facility and hear from Matt Burke. That's next.
Live from the Twin Peaks studio, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
All right, bearing down on going to be a fun ball game on Saturday at noon with the New York Giants coming to town. Texans' first-team offense almost – just about entirely intact will be out there, as we understand it. Defense been playing pretty well the whole time. And, oh, by the way, tomorrow's practice is going to be inside NRG.
Inside, how nice.
Inside NRG Stadium. Old D'Amico's getting all the I's dotted and the T's crossed with the timing of these practices, because that's when they're going to be playing games, and now in the stadium tomorrow. So should be a lot of fun tomorrow and Friday. But let's get out to the NRG Park and listen to what Matt Burke had to say about practice today.
Who's up? Of course.
Look at the way the defensive line's getting off the ball. Do you see kind of them gelling and the timing and everything with everybody working their moves and stuff?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's obviously, you know, when we talk about bringing some new guys into the system, and sort of developing that attack mentality and the techniques we ask those guys to play. Obviously, the more work and the more reps they get at it, and we're kind of getting to that point of the year where it's really starting to, come to fruition. So it's fun to see those guys. And it's, I'd say this, the D-line, more than any position, spends time by themselves, right? Because they're more an individual. They're more sort of isolated from the back end guys. So, like, they spend so much time together. Some of that stuff in terms of, like, the games and the working together is really starting to gel as well. So, yeah, it's been fun to see. Sure.
Jalen said that coming into the season that he wanted to be more patient and he also wanted to play with controlled aggression. But now that he's been moving in and out of different positions, more aggressive, have you seen him be able to have that balance?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think I said this to somebody some few weeks ago. I can't keep track anymore. I actually think him moving around has helped slow his mind down because he's really got to focus on where he's playing in which situation and which role. And so it's kind of just like kind of honed his focus a little bit. But like, I think if you guys remember the second play of the game on that trap that we had, you know, he's blitzing on that and Pittsburgh double cadence trying to get him to show. So, I mean, in terms of like the control, like last year he gets so eager to blitz, he would be like creeping up there and then they'd see it and check out his stuff. And he just stood there like this and held it. And then on the snap, like he knifed it in there and kind of cleaned it up. So I think like stuff like that are real examples of him just like slowing his mind down and like controlling the game. He's one of our like emotional leaders, obviously, and he's such like a hype man. I think he has to pull himself in sometimes, but I think it's been showing a lot out here. It's allowing him to make all the plays you guys are seeing him make.
There's a lot of conversation about, you know, Stephon Diggs' attitude and energy from a skill set standpoint.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Stephon Diggs, there's been a lot of talk about his energy and attitude. From a skill set standpoint, how has he stacked up to previous years of Washington Montana?
Yeah, I mean, same. He's always a hard cover. I've gone against him a few times in my past. He's such the precision route running and then like the understanding of leverage and stuff in terms of getting open. And he's got wicked hands. Like the ball's in his vicinity. He can snatch it. So, I mean, you couple that with obviously the energy and the emotion he brings, and you guys saw it out there today, the little back and forth we had going. It's cool for us to be able to compete against him, in a controlled environment where it doesn't necessarily count on Sunday. So he's got some of the better hands I've seen, and then his just ability to get open from an understanding standpoint and route running is pretty impressive. Quick hook.
And now he's kind of been able to showcase.
Sure.
Miko mentioned your play that almost counted.
Yeah.
It's not just the athleticism, but that goes into film study. How is it? Is that something that he's learned in a short amount of time? It's something he came into the league with?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was part of his profile coming, out of college. I mean, when we evaluated him in the draft, it was something that he did. So it's a similar role. Like, that's how they played him a little bit, at SC. So I think the sort of anticipation and the timing or stuff that he's banked some of those reps and playing like a deeper zone, deeper post, playing off the quarter, those sort of things. So obviously the length and the speed play into that, like when he does get going, but he does have a lot of work back there. He's real natural at like reading quarterbacks, like feeling routes coming up and trying to anticipate breaks. So that kind of helps him get a jump on some things. Sure.
I was going to ask, he asked about Kalen. What about Bassiter? Just in general, what you're seeing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Kamari's probably come in again with the mindset in terms of like the compete, the attack, the sort of aggressive mentality that we're looking for in those guys. He's all that. I mean, I don't know if you guys have had spent any time with him. He is just all businesslike and wants to work. So I think it's been a cool like mix of sort of young guys and vets in that room, with guys that have been here, guys, we got some veteran safeties with Jimmy and Emari and those guys helping that. And then obviously Sting having a few years in the system and then you add the younger guys in. It's just kind of been a cool combination, similar honestly to the D-line talk of those guys gelling and as you get to this point at camp, you just start to see, they start to see how they fit with each other and how they play off each other and what one guy's really good at, and they start to understand, okay, I know he's going to be here in this, so I can kind of do it this way. And I think that room, again, same as the other rooms, are starting to do that. And having Kamari back and working has been part of that. Those fans are loud out there. Yeah.
What things have kind of stood out to you about this?
Yeah, I mean, I think I hate to say it this way, let me try to word this properly, like just the physical nature of him, you know, like because in college he did so much of the ranging and the deep zone stuff, like we've asked him to sort of play down to be physical and tackling, and he's shown that. So like just to like answer some of those questions, I guess, of like, all right, when we ask him to do these things or if we have to put him in this situation, we kind of felt pretty good about some of the stuff he was doing in the deeper part of the field. But to bring him down and to, for him to showcase, you know, his ability to tackle and hit and strike some guys. And, you know, as much as we talk about range in the back end, you know, in the pass world, like for him to be able to go sideline to sideline and make some of those plays and hits on the sideline, he had some cleanup tackles. Like that was really good to see for us in game mode. Sure. Oh yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. I mean, she's a pit bull, huh? Yeah.
Miko talked about how he has put a lot on him.
Sure.
Trained him at all the linebacker positions. You kind of see from his camp and kind of the growth from a couple years ago. He's an undrafted guy.
Yeah.
Maybe surprises a lot of people, makes the team, hangs around with you guys last year, and now he's, you know, fighting it.
Yeah, I think that's probably been. Like his versatility is probably what's kind of been able to, for him to carve out a little world for himself, you know, and he does a great job. That's not easy, especially at that position, the linebacker world. Like there's different, not just the mental part, there's different skill sets we ask from each of those positions, subtle, like in terms of what coverage we're playing. So for him to be able to bounce back and forth and sort of fill in where we need him to has been awesome. I mean, I know like he was undrafted, like he was a really good college football player. I feel like people forget that he was a two-time All Big Ten and all that stuff. So he's a good football player. I think he's just grown into that, you know, and I'm not saying what he is or isn't, but if you're a backup or a rotational linebacker in this league, you have to be able to do that. You know what I mean? If you're going to be the next guy in, you have to be the next guy in at every spot type of thing. And so for him to have the ability to, you know, as a coaching staff, to have comfort in him to just jump in, whatever it is, Mike, Sam, Will, hey, we need your nickel Mike, hey, back to Will, like, and he just, it's pretty smooth and you don't worry about it. That's a huge relief for us to know you have that piece, and he's done a really great job of kind of owning that role. Sure.
Thanks,
cool. All right, guys. Yeah.
You know, the big thing about that, obviously, talking, covering a lot right there, defensive coordinator Matt Burke on the Texans and where they are right now as they have one more practice before Saturday's game. But his most thorough answer was about Stephon Diggs. Like, what do you say, wicked hands? Dude's got wicked hands, and how he gets open and everything else and all this, you know, just the professionalism and the work and all that. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, nah, that's a good thing to have. I mean, I'm super fired up about having Stephon Diggs on this team, man, because we seen the headline. Hell, I seen a list going around talking about top divas in the league, mm-hmm. and his name was number one.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I didn't even want to give it the time of day.
Yeah, I'm not, but yeah. I don't care about all that, man. Yeah. This dude, he's actually making a difference on his team, man, in this locker room.
I think he's absolutely making a difference. I think it's pretty been obvious from the very start.
Yeah, so I'm just looking at all that stuff. I don't even care about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
People just walking around like it's a ticking time bomb. Wait till he go off, or wait till he get the ball. He's making a difference in this room.
Yeah,
and I'm fired up to just have him out there, and I think he gonna produce. It's not like he's an old has been.
Yeah,
that just the guy in the locker room. Nah, he's actually gonna make a difference on the field.
I mean, today was his day. If you haven't been. Listening, you know, we hope you listen to the whole show. We understand, but he just went off. I think I saw five or six catches in the competitive side, not drills, but the competitiveness. Whether it was 11-on-11 or 7-on-7, big time catches, 65 yard touchdown reception, in which someone was asked, "Well, who did he beat?" And the answer was everyone. He beat everyone. No, he's the guy. No, he is absolutely the guy. And it's good for the DBs, too.
Yeah.
Like, to get beat like that.
Yeah, so I think...
In practice.
Yeah, I think just having somebody like that with some young DBs, by the way. Mm-hmm. I know you got Stingley, but you got some young defensive backs out there.
Yeah.
And just getting the reps and going against somebody like a Diggs, and then going against somebody like a Tank Dell,
mm-hmm.
and then going against somebody like a Nico Collins.
Yeah,
that's helping this defense out a lot.
It's helping a lot of the guys on the offensive and defensive side. We've talked about Blake Fisher. Dude has to face Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson every day.
Yeah, either or. Pick your poison.
Think about that. And Kalen Bullock and Kamari Lassiter. And Lassiter has been outstanding, but he got smoked a couple times today.
Yeah.
And that's going to happen when you're facing these kinds of receivers, you know?
Yeah, and Houston Texans got three of them that you got to deal with at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's helping them get better. And you know the phrase, iron sharpens iron.
Oh, they're using the heck out of that.
And that's what's going on, man. I know it's a cliche, but, hey, that's what's going on. That's the thing, man. They for sure doing that.
No, and it is a cliche, and I've seen other teams using it as well. I think the Steelers use that, iron sharpens iron. I mean, it's there for a reason, because it's real. Like, you know, we were talking earlier, like, these three DBs in new spots. Now, one of them's a veteran, Jalen Petrie, but he's a nickelback now, and he's exclusively that so far. Kamari Lassiter, he's been showing a lot, but he's a rookie. Kalen Bullock, we think he's going to be the starting safety. He's a rookie. Like, I was talking earlier, you and I were talking earlier, like, that's going to be, like, key to how far this team goes. But it sure does help when you're facing these three dudes every day.
Yeah, and they're actually helping these guys out, too, man. Like, last year, second-round pick. Bullock is a third-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys, they got, I don't want to say big shoes to fill, but they're going to be a bit part of this defense, man. And being out there covering Stephon Diggs, covering these receivers, man, just this explosive offense, man, I think that's going to help them in the regular season.
Yeah. And I'm going to ask Clinton Rom this when they come in here in just a minute. Like, I feel like you can answer yes or no when you ask the question, is it too much to expect two rookies and an unproven nickel to help a team get to a championship level? I think you can answer yes, that's asking too much, because they're rookies. And Petrie struggled in an altogether new place. He struggled last year, and now he's in an altogether new place. But I also feel like you can say, is it asking too much of these two rookies and Petrie to be that integral a part of what you think could be a championship-level team? I said yes, you know, and why? The no is, if they weren't worthy, if they weren't showing what they could do, and they didn't have that D'Amico pixie dust and his confidence, then they wouldn't be out there.
Yeah, I think Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans probably would have looked to sign somebody else, saying these rookies, they ain't ready, so we gonna go with the veterans to until they get comfortable.
Yeah,
but clearly they are comfortable. So I won't say yes, it's a lot on them, but I think D'Amico Ryans is confident enough where he can roll with them, and do feel like that could be a big part of a championship contender.
No, I think you can go either way. I think you can go either way on this, because you look at this squad, as we've been talking about today, first time ever this offensive line in its current form is going to play, is going to be Saturday. So you feel good about that. Obviously, Stephon Diggs went off. And things are looking good at the wide receiver position. I think Cade Stover probably is establishing himself as the second tight end. But let me ask Ron and Clint, because they just came in here. Like, we are very confident, or at least some of us are very confident in what Kalen Bullock or impressed and Kamari Lassiter have done. Is it too much to ask two rookies to be on a championship-level defense?
I mean, if they can play.
Well, that's what I said. Yeah, like, you can almost see it both ways.
Yeah, if they can play, And it's I think it's especially good for these two, and Bullock more than Kamari Lassiter, because Kamari Lassiter, I think they probably will try to attack him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they'll have the room to be able to grow into it, and I don't think because of what they have, like, it's not like he doesn't have Derek Stingley on the other side or something. Or it's
no, for
not
sure,
like,
it helps.
It's not like Kalen Bullock has to be a starter. They can still ease them in a certain way.
Well, that's what I've been saying. Both of them. They're not doing them any favors. They're not doing them because they drafted them or they like them. They're out there for a reason. In a general sense, you're starting two rookies on what you think could be.
It's not like it's a bad team and they were just tanking and they just got to throw some people out
there.
Let them figure it out. They could have addressed that position.
This isn't a rebuilding team anymore.
Yeah, but I think they have enough to where I don't think they fear mistakes early.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they have it's not like they can start, because there's a difference between can you start or do you have to be dependent on?
Are you an integral part?
So yeah. Will Anderson was dependent upon last year.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't think they are in those camps. And I think they'll have the ability to, as I said, grow.
I hear you, and I think you can argue both sides. Two rookies, you think you're going to be a championship-level team. Everybody thinks so. You got starting two rookies in the secondary.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that gives me the assurance is you've got two former top 10 picks that are serviceable. I don't know where they're at, Jeff Okuda and C.J. Henderson. I don't know exactly where they're at health-wise or, you know, how much I want to really lean into them. But I don't mind the rookies because you've got some veterans behind them that we know at the very least
they're serviceable.
You know, or at least you feel like one of those guys, or let's say the group of all three of them, can do what Steven Nelson did last year.
Sure,
you know they're not going to have to play nickel because you've got multiple nickels. You're deep there. They're not going to. Hopefully, Stingley stays healthy, or we got a whole different conversation going on.
Yeah.
But the cover defenders with this football team, man, they're deep.
Yeah.
They're deep, and so that gives me a little bit of security that hey, let the rookies do what they do.
Yeah. I hear you guys had a sit down.
Yeah, we had the head coach D'Amico Ryans. Yeah. He'll join us in at 2:40 right here on the drive. You'll be able to hear our conversation with D'Amico Ryans. You guys were talking about those two players. D'Amico,
he talked about it.
Lit up like a Christmas tree when he talked about those two guys. So you get to hear what
the head coach every snap.
The head coach had to say about it.
Got to hear that mic'd up.
Every snap.
It's fantastic.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.